Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. Many have attended the Sky Family Revival concerts and have been greatly touched by the Holy Spirit. This program was created to keep that fire alive. Today is the day to wake up from all our worldly distractions to seek first the kingdom of God. Nothing will satisfy your soul like giving Jesus first place in your life. Nothing will restore our country except for those who are called by His name to start seeking the Lord with all their might. And this is revival, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Join us today. Let revival begin with you.
We've been taking a close look at what it means to pick up our cross to follow Jesus. In our modern times, we have rightly expounded on all that Jesus accomplished by going to the cross for us, that He purchased our salvation, He pardoned our sins, and prepared a wonderful eternal inheritance. But we hardly ever hear that we are also to pick up our cross just as Jesus did. Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, let him pick up his cross and follow me." So we're looking at what it really means to pick up the cross here in America and in Canada. Stay tuned to Skies Revival Radio. Hi, this is Tom from the Sky Family. We've been taking a close look at what it really means to pick up our cross to follow Jesus. These days, we have rightly expounded on all that Jesus accomplished by going to the cross for us, that He purchased our salvation, He pardoned our sins, and prepared a wonderful inheritance. But we hardly ever hear that we are also to pick up our cross just as Jesus did. He said, "If anyone would come after me, let him pick up his cross and follow me." So we're looking at what it means to pick up the cross in the West, in America, and in Canada. The first thing it means is that we are to put to death the sin that is in our lives. It is to be crucified with Christ. It's not okay to say you believe in Jesus and then keep living like the world. Being born again, by definition, means that we have a new life. We do a complete 180, put aside all of the immorality, drugs, alcohol abuse. We start doing the things that please God. Jesus is to take the place of our alcohol and drugs. Jesus' love is to take the place of our immoral relations. The next area of picking up the cross is putting to death the passions of the flesh. We are a very passionate people, and instead of enjoying the good things God has made in a way that is pleasing to Him, we take things too far. We make too much out of our sports. We make too much of our recreation, of our entertainment, and our food. We're going to deal with food right now. We have covered the other items in previous lessons. If you missed them, we're doing a study on a book called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door to Radiant Life. You can get a copy of the book from Amazon, or you can go to the Skies Revival Radio website, where you'll find the previous lessons archived for your reference. In the area of food, we can conclusively say that to eat is not sinful. Eating was created and ordained by God as a pleasant means to keep us alive. However, eating can become sinful by taking it too far and making too much of it. This is very common, and many people fall into sin through making too much of their food. To understand where the line is with food, we must stick to principles because it can be different with each person. Lawful eating becomes unlawful gluttony when we exceed the point of moderation. That unlawful limit can either be in the form of enjoying it passionately, in eating excessive portions, or in excessive pickiness about the quality. That's where it becomes kind of an individual thing. A large man could sit down to a huge steak with all of the fixings and not be gluttonous. A delicate-looking woman could sit down to a tiny, specially prepared meal and be guilty of sin. How is that? Well, for the man, if he's worked hard all day, what he has eaten could be just enough to comfortably fill him. For the woman, her portion could be ridiculously small, but if she has terrorized her cook staff or the waiter because she can't eat it unless it's perfect, that person has gone over the limit. God does not want us to make overmuch of our food. He wants us to enjoy it moderately if it's good and not complain if it's bad. Those are the guidelines. If we keep within the limits, then food becomes a blessing. It becomes just a real pleasant thing that we can enjoy. But if we exceed the speed limit, then we are guilty of gluttony. It becomes sinful and displeasing to God. So everything in moderation. And that goes for all the other pleasures as well. That's the key. Everything in moderation. Just think of the speed limit whenever you're indulging in something that is pleasurable to you. Music, videos, games, sports are often areas that completely take over our lives. If it goes to excess, you're breaking God's laws, even though the pastime may not be sinful and it might be a lawful pleasure. So here again, the key is the cross. Once God has rooted out the major sins of the flesh, now he asks us to apply the cross to all areas of our life. He asks us to embrace moderation. And that can be a difficult thing because we are passionate people and we are ruled by our passions. In fact, we are slaves to our passions and we can't escape. So now we must do as the drug addict or the alcoholic. We must look up to God, give him our will in the matter. We must give him those areas that are out of order and ask him to bring them under control. And if we can't do that with all of our heart, which is very likely at the beginning, we must simply take one step back and ask him to give us the desire to put these things under control. And he will actually come and give you miraculous help. He already knows you can't stop sinning and you can't stop doing things to excess. All he's looking for is our willingness to be made clean and our humility and repentance. These things are so important because our pleasures determine where our heart is. Whatever our pleasures are, that's where our thoughts and interests are. If our pleasure lies in any of the passions of the flesh, that is a true reflection of our condition in Christ. These things, though we can say Jesus is our Lord, it is these things that are truly our gods. They are what we actually live for. Then, added to that, we may also have an interest in Jesus and in being saved, but God is off to the side. He is only one of our interests. By taking up the cross, we must follow God's word in putting to death all the passions of the flesh. One by one, we must surrender them. God is wonderful. He's patient. He simply proceeds methodically through our life to make it clean and white. But the moment we stop allowing him to clean us in an area, that is where we stop in our walk with Jesus. I have seen many times where a person has made great strides in being cleaned from all the gross sins after being born again, only to be stopped dead by refusing to allow God to clean out their pet passion. Of course, this reluctance only comes from a lack of knowledge. They fear that if once they surrender that area to God, they'll never have it again. And it's too dear to them, so they're afraid to let it go. No, God only wants to make it lawful. He may indeed take it away for a season, but he will return it to you in its good and lawful form once you have let him have it. Now, we might be tempted to think that if we give up all these things to follow Christ, we will have nothing left but him. Well, that's exactly what our goal is. Nothing but Christ. We want to put all things into subjection to him, and we want to give him preeminence in everything. We don't want any passions or idols to come between us and our beloved Savior. Christ is to become our life. And then, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, you will also be revealed with him in glory. That's Colossians 3:4. The process of becoming dead to all the passions of the flesh is a long, slow ordeal, which requires taking up our cross daily to follow him. The fruit of all those tiny choices becomes a rich harvest. As we sell all to obtain the pearl of great price, he becomes ours. The Lord himself becomes our delight and our most exquisite pleasure. And as I mentioned before, there is no pleasure on earth that can be compared to the heavenly delights which are granted to those who are close to him. The psalmist says it well in Psalm 73. He says, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And besides thee, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. As for me, the nearness of God is my good." In all these things, we can truly say, this is the narrow gate. This is the surprising door to a radiant life. If you're following along in the book right now, we're moving ahead to lesson 22, which is entitled Laying Aside Every Encumbrance. Now we come to the heart of our mission, real revival beginning with us. It is not just to be content to face persecution and resistance with steadfastness, or to put away the gross sins of the flesh. nor is it content to subject the passions of our earthly appetites. Our goal is nothing less than following the words of Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, which says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." So in addition to all the sin which so easily entangles us, there are also encumbrances. An encumbrance is as good as a sin for slowing us down in our walk with Jesus. And what exactly is an encumbrance? It is a distraction. Anything that distracts us from following God. And this opens a whole new category of our lives to scrutiny from the light of the Holy Spirit. For besides being filled up with every type of sinful lust and passion, all the remainder of our time is usually occupied by distractions. And what qualifies as a distraction? Anything that turns our thoughts away from God. For some, it could be as small as reading the Sunday paper. For others, it could be being employed by a high-powered firm that saps all their time and energy. Here's a scary thought. How many will be distracted out of the kingdom of heaven by nothing more than a handheld cellular device? For everyone, though, worldly entertainment qualifies as a bona fide distraction. Your enemy, the devil, does not care one bit what means he uses to distract you so long as he can distract your attention from God. Of course, he's always glad to pull people into the pit by getting them strung out on drugs and alcohol. And he still takes great pleasure in luring a young woman away by using an ungodly boyfriend. But he has other methods that are equally effective in turning people from God. If the people are already church-going Christians, just plunk them down in front of the TV at night, and he has completely neutralized any threat of them growing close to God. If he can get Christians talking about and anticipating the latest movie releases, wow, what could be better than that? If he can get God's people to spend their free time playing the same video games as their worldly neighbors, well, it just can't get any better. We can all put different labels on, but when the holy God looks down upon the sons of men, can he see light and darkness among the people? Or is it just one big gray mass? Has the Christian church become so involved with worldly entertainment that it ceases to be the salt and light that preserves the world? In North America, unfortunately, the answer to that for the most part is yes. We bring God no pleasure at all when we fill our thoughts with all the input of the world. We cease to bring him joy when all day long we listen to secular music, watch ungodly movies, and play demonic video games which deaden us to the realities of God and involve us in everything that is satanic. Then we try to convince him that everything is okay because we go to church or to youth group. Entertainment is the snare which has been carefully designed to capture those who have made an outward profession of faith. Our enemy howls with laughter. He doesn't care that they may be free from alcohol abuse or drugs, or that outwardly they lead a good life. it doesn't make any difference to him, because anything that he can use to distract us from Christ is of equal value. I was going to tell you a story right now, but it's too late, so you'll have to stay tuned next week as we continue this fascinating look at the things that God requires of us when it comes to picking up the cross. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, please come to us. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. Lord, make us clean inside and out. Make us clean all the way to the core of our being, all the way to the deepest parts of our heart. Lord, make us clean so that when we see you, we will run to you unashamed, because there is no hidden sin in our heart. Lord, show us what it means to pick up the cross today. Help us, O Lord, to be true disciples in following after you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining with us, and we look forward to getting together again next lesson. Be sure to visit skiesrevivalradio.com, where you'll find many encouraging resources, including the first book of our Revival Begins With You series. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door into Radiant Life, and it's available in hard copy or download. You'll also find Celtic Revival music CD and other uplifting materials there. We look forward to getting together with you again next week.
These radio programs are aired weekly all across the country and on internet radio. It is a faith ministry, and they are supported only by the Sky Family and a little group of concerned Christians who contribute to the radio ministry. If you have been helped or encouraged or edified in any way, would you consider joining that small group to keep these broadcasts going out? It takes a lot of money to produce these programs and to get them out to those who can hear and be encouraged to begin the exciting adventure of personal revival. Your joining with us in this ministry would be a real blessing to many people. Because we don't deduct any kind of administration fee, every dollar you send goes directly to getting the gospel out into this dark world. So even a small donation goes a long way. If you go online and type in Skies Revival Radio, our homepage will come up. Somewhere on the page will be a donate button. If you click on that, you will find a number of ways you can join us in this important work. Or call us at 508-887-1051. That's 508-887-1051. Or email us at tourmanager@theskies.org. If you can't afford anything, don't worry. You can still join our team by standing in the gap and praying with us week by week as the broadcasts go out. It takes a lot of money and a lot of prayer to have the gospel go forth through the media. Thanks so much for your help financially and in prayer. May God bless you.
This song is from the Skies Celtic Revival CD, which is available on the Sky Family website or on iTunes.